It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, May 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Google's I.O. conference kicks off. Developers and fans will be paying attention to what news the conference brings. The larger headline going in, the Android operating system is spreading, both in terms of the number and the kinds of devices that use it, from cars to televisions to watches. And that presents developers with unique challenges. Tuong Nguyen is principal analyst at Gartner. Hi, Tuong.
How's it going?
It's going well. What are the challenges developers experience when working on Android?
I think one of the challenges is the multitude of platforms. So what we're talking about here is not just phones and tablets, but you know, TV, home appliances, watch, car, really any other consumer devices that are available.
And it's a lot easier for Apple developers because one size fits all in most scenarios. But what are the benefits in your mind of Android being this kind of open platform that runs on everything?
So in the first quarter of 2015, 8 out of 10 of every smartphone that was sold was an Android smartphone. It's a compelling platform to develop for, right? You have a very large base of existing users. I think that's a huge benefit, especially if you are resource constrained in the development environment, meaning, you know, if you're a one, two-man shop, the choice is kind of obvious.
Tuong Nguyen at Gartner. It may be all rah-rah Google in Mountain View today, but in Mexico, there's evidence that a slightly anti-Google idea is spreading. The right to be forgotten has jumped across the Atlantic, and there's at least one mogul south of the border who wants links about him removed from the internet. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports.
A year ago, a European court said people had a right to demand Google take down certain search results about them. The right to be forgotten was born.
I think the idea is spreading in some areas.
Jennifer Granick is with the Stanford Center for Internet and Society. Hong Kong, Japan, South Korea are all considering the idea. Post-dictator democracies in Latin America have resisted it.
The real question is, how will that affect the internet and search engines as a whole?
European regulators want Google to take down search results everywhere, not just in Europe. Jonathan Zittrain directs Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. He says Google might try to restructure to get out from certain jurisdictions.
Or you might even see the American legislature pass a law that tells Google not to obey orders of a certain kind coming from overseas.
Google has said it's received 250,000 requests for removal in Europe, from victims of crimes to politicians trying to cover up misdeeds. It says it's rejected 60% of those requests. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
~90% of all the data that exists right now appeared in the last 2 years. Companies of all kinds are trying to use this data to make their services better and make money. Facebook is one of them, and the company is using its data more and more to inform its machine learning. Another name for machine learning is artificial intelligence. I recently met up with Serkan Piantino, director at Facebook New York. Piantino is working on the company's AI research, so we sat down to talk about what AI means at Facebook.
Serkan Piantino is director of engineering at Facebook, and he's the site director for Facebook New York. Serkan, thank you for talking with me.
Absolutely.
When I think about artificial intelligence, I usually think about Google first. What is Facebook doing in this space that I should know about?
I think the best answer to this, right now, Facebook is a network and we show your friends the content that you share, but we don't really understand it in the way that they do. So really what we're trying to do with the AI research group is build the understanding of the things flowing through our network.
And this is why Newsfeed has gone through many, many tweaks.
And yeah, so I think one obvious way that we can make the site better is by understanding what you like and who you are. But we can also answer questions that you wouldn't normally think technology could ask, like show me the popular restaurants in Toronto, things like that. And then I have to add that because we sit next to this tremendous data set, is one of the probably the biggest human data set in the world, we feel some obligation to push forward our understanding of intelligence with that data. And that's something that we feel an obligation to explore.
What are you excited about doing with that data? I mean, if you had all the time in the world and all the engineers in the world, mm-hmm. what kind of tool would you build and what would it do?
What I'm passionate about is the ability for these technologies to bring technology a little closer to people. You know, people's expectations about technology and how much about them it's going to understand and how quickly they're going to be able to use it and how easily, et cetera, keep getting pushed forward. For Facebook, if we can really understand what people want, if we can bring our products one step closer to people, then we can do a better job of connecting to them to the world.
You're not talking about literally like putting it into an Oculus headset necessarily,
no,
or
no.
Are you?
No, I mean, you know, if you take your phone out and you're having a moment that you want to share,
mm-hmm.
In my ideal world, you know, we know everything about what it is you're trying to do, and we share more effectively because we understand your context and what's going on and who you are.
It's easier for me to share it with the people I'm trying to share it with and to do so in a way that's sort of effective overall.
Right. It's faster, and we don't require that you translate your human desires into something that's the network understands.
Sircon Piantino, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you.
And here's a story that sounds like the kind of thing you'd read in a book by sci-fi author Neal Stephenson, or maybe a plot point in a slasher film. Apple has discovered and announced it will issue a fix for a bug that crashes your iPhone. The crazy part is the way it works. It's just a string of text with symbols and Arabic characters that can be texted to a person, and it totally crashes your phone and turns it off. Apparently, you can undo the problem by powering up, sending a reply, or having someone send you a new message. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.